Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were reading a parable in Luke of the master and his servants and the need for them to render an account with what they did while their master was away, the gold he had given them, what had they done with it. And I ask a couple of questions that I wanted you to take a look at, which is, can I honestly render an account to God with what I've done, with what I've been given? At whatever level, am I using my gifts for His glory and honor? I want to continue that by reading a brief commentary here by Father Grandmaison, who was a French Jesuit priest and a theologian back in the 1920s. And this, he says, giving an account. We have to do it sooner or later. And we must give an account of all the talents we have received. He who has received five and gained five more has used his talents to the fullest advantage. He is fully rewarded. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have followed your motto, I will serve. Everything in you has served well, your mind, your heart, your powers of soul and body. So too with the who received two talents, the same fidelity, although his starting point and the plenitude of his gifts were very different. And he too receives the same reward. It's what you do with what you have been given, not with what somebody else has been given. Well, I could do that if I had that talent. No. What are you doing with what God has given you? The unfaithful servant, he says, Father says, he knew and even greatly exaggerated the demands of his master. It was probably his excessive and harmful apprehension, his sinful lack of trust that led him to inertia, laziness, failure. Let him not say, I could not do it, for he, like the others, received according to his capacities. Let him not say, too much was demanded of me, for all that was asked of him was that he fructify one talent. Person who was given one could say, I only have one little gift. I don't have to do what they have to do. I mean, I don't even pay attention to it. I never even called it a gift. You too will render an account one day. Even if you think you have nothing, you have been given gifts. Find them. He is, as a result, unforgivable. And then Father himself says, I shall ask our Lord for the trust and the courage necessary to turn all my talents to account, including my talent for the apostolate. I will serve. There's a heart, there's an attitude. Whatever I've been given, I will use it. I will serve. That should be the motto of every single one of us. What can I do today to make life better for those around me? What can I do today to help somebody in need? What can I do today by giving a listening ear to someone's needs? It can be those small and hidden things. But what it does is it widens us. It strengthens us. It opens our eyes and it unblocks our ears so we can hear and see the cry of the poor all around us and not be so self-focused that we can't see the needs of others. Really, brothers and sisters, please take a look at this in your own life. Today, we look at the reading from the first book of Maccabees, chapter 2, verses 15 to 29. The officers of the king in charge of enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modin to organize the sacrifices. Many of Israel joined them. So that's been happening all along. They're going the way of all the false gods. But Mattathias and his sons, now we've got a number of people here. We have that wonderful Eleazar and his courage as an 80-some-year-old man. we see the strong mother and her seven sons urging them to be faithful to God. Now we come to Mattathias and his sons, who gathered in a group apart. And then the officers of the king addressed Mattathias, "You are a leader, an honorable and great man in this city, supported by sons and kin. Come now, be the first to obey the king's command, as all the Gentiles and the men of Judah and those who are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons shall be numbered among the king's friends, and you shall be enriched with silver and gold and many gifts." You see, isn't that, it's the same enticement today then. Riches, power, position. They were offered, quote, the, quote, opportunity to sell their birthright for riches. And he says to them, but Mattathias answered in a loud voice, "Although all the Gentiles in the king's realm obey him, so that each forsakes the religion of his fathers and consents to the king's orders, yet I and my sons and my kin will keep to the covenant of our fathers." What if you were hauled out public in some situation and said, "Deny the commandments and we'll give you this position, this title, this honor"? What would you do? "God forbid that we should forsake the law and the commandments. We will not obey the words of the king, nor depart from our religion in the slightest degree." That took courage. As he finished saying these words, a certain Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice on the altar in Modin, according to the king's order. When Mattathias saw him, he was filled with zeal. His heart was moved. His just fury was aroused. He sprang forward and killed him upon the altar. That was righteous in that period of time, because he had forsaken the law that he had vowed to fulfill. At the same time, he also killed the messenger of the king who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus he showed his zeal for the law, just as Phinehas did with Zimri, son of Salu. And then Mattathias went through the city shouting, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law and who stands by the covenant follow after me." Thereupon he fled to the mountains with his sons, leaving behind in the city all their possessions. Many who sought to live according to righteousness and religious custom went out into the desert to settle there. They gave up everything. They weren't forced out. They had a choice. They chose for God. And so they lost, in one sense, everything. Brothers and sisters, what they will gain eternally is not even by comparison to what they lost, even though it looks here in this world like it's everything. It's not. It's not. Psalm 50, "To the upright I will show the saving power of God. Offer to God praise as your sacrifice. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Then call upon me in time of distress. I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me." Put God first. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from you. It is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and they will hem you in on every side. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Brothers and sisters, these are days when the scriptures are offered to us to take stock, to see where we are. We do not know the day or the hour when God will come for us. We want to render an account now so that we can see wherever we have a deficit that we have time to change. This, brothers and sisters, we need to be active. Don't be passive. Say, well, I didn't kill anybody, therefore I'm sure God will receive me. Not necessarily. You may have killed by destroying another's reputation. Who knows? You need to see as God sees. And God will give you that gift. His Holy Spirit will enlighten your mind and strengthen your will to do good and to avoid evil. You and I, each of us, will render an account. And at this time of the year, as we come to the close of the church year, this is a time to really take stock. Where am I? How am I living? One of the saddest verses in Scripture, where Jesus says, they will smash you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came among them. They prayed for the Messiah for thousands of years, and he came and was among them, and they did not recognize him. They did not recognize the time of their visitation when God himself would be in their midst. They ridiculed, they rejected, they turned away. We can become deaf, dumb, and blind in our sin. We really can. You don't want to be guilty of that. You think you see, you think you hear, you think you're making good decisions. Take a look in light of God's word whether you really are. Take one step at a time. Take one area at a time. You do that, do a couple of them that are harder. It's amazing once God draws closer to you how much you desire to do it. You want to do it. You want to obey his will. Brothers and sisters, I really urge you. This is the time. This is the time to allow God full reign in your life. Say, show me what I need to see. Make clear to me what I need to do, what I need to change. Ask him. Ask him. Then do your homework. Take a look at your life. But ask him to show you what is most important to him first of all. Because oftentimes when you get some deep thing out of your life, a lot of other things just die on their own because everything changes. So don't necessarily go after all the little things first. Go after one of the big ones and see the grace and the mercy that God will have for you. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.